Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
Welcome to Hour 3 of Tony Katz Today. Not live from the heartland, but I am heartless, so there's that, right? I'm sitting in for Tony today. My name is Derek Hunter, columnist, senior columnist for Town Hall, podcast host. I have a radio show out here but in the East Coast, but what else do I have? Consultant, crisis management. You just search. I wrote a book called Outrage Incorporated. You search D-E-R-E-K Hunter, you'll find out about me and recoil in horror, perhaps, but whatever. I'm not judgy. Actually, I am. I'm wildly judgy. We've got one more hour to go, and we've got some wonderful audio to get to. I want to start off with one of my favorite things in life is when the left gets a big old dose of their own medicine. It's a thrill. I love it. I describe it as Frankenstein's monster returning to the castle. Frankenstein's monster always returns to the castle. You can sit there up on the top turret of the castle and go, oh, I love the destruction. Look at the trail of fire and everything out there. Ha, 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 those poor villagers. But eventually, the monster will return and destroy the castle. That's the lesson of Frankenstein. So when Democrats catch a big old dose of their own medicine, I rather enjoy it. And sometimes they always whine about it. I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this. I can't believe that. I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Whatever it is they're complaining about. Well, in this case, this is the Young Turks. And it does get more radical than that. Anna Kasparian, and you'll hear also Cenk Uygur. They sat silently as conservatives pointed out the horrors and the problems and everything else of what? Of progressive Soros-funded prosecutors releasing criminals or not going to charge this crime or whatever, all this stuff that they do. And conservatives talk about the problems with this, and they poo-pooed it. Oh, we over-criminalize. It's over-criminalization. It's this, it's that, it's the other. They always found an excuse for it. They always said it's just those damn right-wingers. They just love putting off-white human beings into prison, into everything. That's what it is. We have the school-to-prison pipeline. They love the idea of the school-to-prison pipeline. It's kind of funny. Because if you or I were, you know, and other normal human beings were looking at what is called the school-to-prison pipeline, if we believed that there was a school-to-prison pipeline, what would you focus on? Which end of the pipe would you be focused on? The one where everybody's coming out and they end up, oh, man, we're in prison. Or would you think that maybe if you wanted to address the prison problem, you would address the school part, right? Because if a school is feeding the school-to-prison pipeline, which is they always say we need more money because of the school-to-prison pipeline. Well, if you've got a pipeline that's feeding kids to prison, that's where you should probably start. That's where I would suggest you go, is we're going to go and find out what the problem is with the schools, not the left. The left is owned by the teachers union. So they want to shut down the prisons. And part of wanting to shut down the prisons is saying, well, you need to stop prosecuting people. We don't need to tell people to stop breaking the law. We need to change the law. Okay, that's if you're looking to decrease crime, that's one way to do it. Just like they're out there saying, well, crime is down. Crime is down now. Crime is down now? Yes, crime is, don't you know? Crime is down. Okay, well, not violent crime, but other crime is down. Well, violent crime is kind of the crime people mostly care about, right? You don't want somebody to steal your car. If you're working in retail or you own a store, you don't want somebody to come along and rob your stuff. But you'd rather them take your stuff then beat holy hell out of you and leave you for dead on the side of the road. That's what I'm just saying. But no, they go, this, the problem is society doesn't make somebody fill up a duffel bag full of shoes. society didn't make somebody come in and steal all the hair dye and resell it on eBay. That's not society. Maybe you should deal with the crime and tell people, stop telling people, first of all, that there's no hope. Because this is, the system's rigged against you. You're never going to get ahead. A kid hears that enough from people who are supposed to be in positions of authority, positions of respect. And you hear enough from clergy and politicians and school teachers and everything. You're never going to get ahead. And guess what happens? You go out there in life and you will fail. You will get setbacks. There will be jobs you don't get. There will be all sorts of things that happen. And you go, oh, geez, I didn't get that. Now you can learn from the experience. Or you can sit there and say, society screwed me. And get bitter about it. Then you're feeding the school-to-prison pipeline. Or you can tell kids that things are going to set you back. Somebody's going to get something you want. You're going to have to work hard to get it. You're not entitled to anything. And make a difference in people's lives. And then you'd stop the flow of the prison part of the school-to-prison pipeline, maybe. At least slow it down, right? There's always going to be somebody who's going to break the law. But pretending that the laws are, well, there's fewer crimes being committed because, well, people stopped reporting them, for example. What's the point of reporting retail theft if you know for a fact that the prosecutor is simply not going to do a damn thing about it? Right? Prosecutor's not going to do anything about it. They're not going to be charged. So why would you bother to call the cops? You're just wasting your time and their time. So then a crime unreported becomes what? Fewer crimes reported. Fewer crimes reported means crime is down. Weird how that works. Crime is not violent crime because if somebody beats the hell out of you, you're going to call the cops. But in general, if somebody's broke your window on your car, unless your insurance company demands a police report, you're not going to call the police because the police aren't going to go, well, I tell you, sir, we're going to move heaven and earth. We will not rest until the perpetrator of this horrible crime against you and your family and humanity, and really society as a general, until they're arrested. Just not going to do it. Because why? Because nobody's going to do anything about it. So they're running around when crime is down. School to prison pipeline too. No cash bail. Cash bail is racist, etc., etc. You know all the tropes that these people belch out. Well, it has consequences. Usually bites normal people, not the progressive activists and media types. But every once in a while, it comes to their attention. And something is so egregious that they realize they don't care about the people. Let me just make that clear. They're not concerned about the victims of crime. They're concerned about how it's going to impact the electoral chances of Democrats. Once it becomes an issue like that, then suddenly they care. Suddenly they'll go, my goodness, we must do something about this. This is an outrage. They try to distance themselves from their baby. That's not my baby. And there's Maury Povich over in the corner going, you are the father. You did this. While all the while, if they'd just listened to conservatives who said, what you're doing now is leading to someplace bad. I'm like, no, it's not. And then they do something. Now you're going even further down this road and there's bad stuff down the road. No, there's not. You're right wing racist. Blah, blah. You're moving further down the road. And then eventually they're all the way down the road. They're impacted by it. They realize that their electoral chances are being negatively impacted. And suddenly they go, how did we get here? What the hell is going on? That's what happens in this Young Turks clip. It's pretty long, but it's well worthwhile because if they had just not, you know that there is in their wake a whole bunch of those Republicans whining about no cash bail. Those Republicans talking about lax enforcement of the law. They're crazy. They're racist. They're this. And now suddenly this story comes along that has everybody recoiling in horror, and they realize that if they don't say something about it, there's going to be a problem. They're going to have negative electoral consequences. Not about the victims. It's about the electoral consequences. And then they start to try to care. Cut 12. Go ahead.
Dismembering a corpse and hiding a corpse after dismembering it. Not bail eligible. Not a serious crime. I'm not even kidding, guys. Like when Joy Behar outlined that case, I was like, She's crazy. This isn't a thing. This isn't real. This isn't real. So I looked it up. It's real, guys. It's real. Listen, if being on the left means supporting this, then I'm not on the left, and I'm okay with that. So let me give you the details of the case.
It doesn't mean that.
Okay, I don't know. Let me give you the details.
On the left. We're all on the left. We don't want people dismembering folks getting released. Only a couple
Some do.
I know. What I was in the middle of saying is only a couple of lunatic activists are like, yeah, we're pro dismemberment guys being let go. Okay, whatever. You don't represent the left at all.
Dismembered bodies. It's so unfair to put them in prison. Okay, let me give you the details of the actual case, okay? So four people were arrested in New York after body parts were found in Long Island. Okay, dismembered body parts. The victims were, two people from Yonkers, older individuals. Suffolk County police say 44-year-old Stephen Brown, 38-year-old Jeffrey Mackey, 40-year-old Amanda Wallace, and 33-year-old Alexis Nieves were charged with concealment of a corpse, tampering with physical evidence, and hindering prosecution. They have not been charged with murder. Prosecutors told a judge there was so much blood in pipes, sink, shower, and toilet of the Railroad Avenue home in Amityville where the suspects were arrested that it was deemed uninhabitable. Police said they confiscated meat cleavers, butcher knives, flesh, and body parts. Attorneys for Brown and Mackey admitted that their clients lived in that home where the body parts and all that blood was found, but denied chopping up the 59-year-old woman and 53-year-old man whose last known address was in Yonkers. Wallace also lived with Brown and Mackey in Amityville. Police said that Knives is homeless. Okay. All four pleaded not guilty. The judge released them without bail. They were fitted with GPS monitoring and must report in person probation and surrender their passports.
I don't care about their passports.
Dude, guys, like what? Okay, so did further research because I just couldn't believe it. Here's more. With 2019 state reforms, mutilation and disposal of murdered corpses are among crimes that are no longer bail eligible. The DA said the four went to barbaric lengths to cover the crime. What are we doing, Cenk? What are we doing? Someone tell me, what the F are we doing?
Yeah, look, no one signed up for this. I don't know how the hell any of these laws passed. I went to every progressive conference there was over the last 20 years. I never heard a single person saying, why don't we let the actual criminals go? Hey, if someone butchers someone and chops them up into little pieces, let's do the kind of criminal justice reform where they would be able to walk out free.
Yeah, come at me right now and tell me I'm the bad guy because I want these people who dismembered corpses and tried to conceal the evidence in prison. Come at me and tell me I'm the bad guy. Come at me.
I don't, guys.
Insane. You guys are insane. Anyone who thinks this is okay is insane. And everyone else in New York has to suffer the consequences of this with random bag checks at the subway by National Guard troops.
Don't you love it? This is insane. What are we doing? Okay, let's go back and check the tape when we were talking about, hey, somebody robbed a liquor store and they were out. No cash bail. They were back. Somebody punched an elderly Asian woman on the street and they were back by lunchtime. And you all just said, oh, you're overreacting. This is ridiculous. Well, where did you think this was going to end? Where did you think this yellow brick road ended? What did you think was going to happen? You can be as outraged as you want. It's more of a welcome to the party, pal, than anything else. You guys did this. You set the fire. You know, oh my God, but they're burning the thing I care about now. You started the fire. We've been telling you fire is bad. And you go, no, fire is only bad if it bothers something that I care about. If it doesn't bother anything I care about, fire good. Now, Frankenstein's monster always returns to the castle to destroy it. I mean, welcome. Let's fix the problem. Let's get rid of these progressive Democrats. It's nice to say they won't go so far as to say that it's progressive policies. They go, no, nobody wants this. Somebody wants this. This didn't happen. It didn't fall from the sky. It didn't happen in a vacuum. Somebody wanted this. And the people who wanted this were on your team. They are on your team. This is what they do. I'm glad that we finally found something that would eventually get you to recognize that your side is doing some horrible things. It's just unfortunate that it had to happen. You know, the horrible things had to happen to people for so long. But you can take comfort, I guess, in the fact that the horrible things happened to people who generally vote for the people who empowered the horrible things. Democrats are always shocked to find out that Democrat policies lead to bad things. And then they do. They try to pretend that I wasn't even in town that month. Yeah, you were in the Capitol passing horrible laws and voting for horrible people to do horrible things. None of this happens in a vacuum, no matter how big the vacuum in your head is. I'm Derek Hunter, sitting in for Tony Katz. You're listening to Tony Katz Today. We'll be right back. Reminded of Ed Buck. Democrats, something bad happens to Democrats, or as a result of a Democrat donor, it's like slept under the rug. So Ed Buck was convicted of, I don't think it was direct murder, it was benign neglect or whatever. Well, let's see, here's a story from NPR. Ed Buck told his neighbors that the steady stream of young black men leaving his West Hollywood apartment were social work clients. Blah, blah, blah. Buck, 67, a wealthy gay, white, donor, Democrat, LGBTQ, and animal rights causes, was sentenced Thursday in U.S. District Court to 30 years in federal prison for injecting two men with lethal doses of methamphetamine as a part of a fetish that turned fatal. Now, you may remember, Ed Buck is one of those names where you go, that rings a bell. That rings a bell. It's not a drumbeat. It should be a drumbeat. Guys murdering gay black men, you would think that that would be a cause celeb with the left. But it's not. It wasn't even a cause. It wasn't any. They pretended not to know, because if you look up pictures of Ed Buck, you see pictures of Ed Buck with Ted Lieu, Democratic congressman. Not if you go to Google Images, but if you search other images, you see Ted Buck and, or Ed Buck and politicians. You'll see him with Hillary Clinton. You'll see him with Adam Schiff, who is likely going to be the next senator from the state of California. You know, it's weird because I watched one of the Senate debates between, it was four candidates. They have what's called a jungle primary, where they try to eliminate the Republican Party as best they can. So it's the top two finishers. No party, top two finishers go on to the general election. Last time there was a Senate seat open, when Kamala won, the top two finishers were Democrats. There was no risk of there's not even a risk of a Republican there. They just want to eliminate Republicans from the public square. But Steve Garvey made it through because there were three prominent Democrats running, and when you split the vote three ways, somebody who gets a third can do all right. And so Steve Garvey, but he's running against Adam Schiff. I watched the debate there. There not only wasn't a single question. There not only wasn't a... none of the opponents brought up Ed Buck and Ed Buck's relationship, friendship, really. It was a friendship. And donor relationship with Adam Schiff. The moderators didn't bring it up. You sit there and you go, these Democrats, they act like they're 10 feet tall and bulletproof. They walk around, they think they're immune to this, that, and the consequence. It's only because they are. The media works as a guard for them. They protect them. If Steve Garvey had ever met somebody, you know, you were a member of the Manson family 20, 40, 50, 60 years. It didn't matter. Here's, you signed an autograph for somebody horrible back during your rookie season, Mr. Green. Answer for it. That's how it works. But a Democrat has a close, long-term friendship and a big donor relationship with somebody who's been convicted of killing two black men because it's part of his kink. And it's not even worth being brought up to this point, I don't know. And I'm sure he's got a pat answer, so if it's brought up, he'll just go, well, that's pish-posh, and that'll be the end of it, because that's how it works. You're listening to Tony Katz today. I'm declaring it. The weekend is upon us. I'm declaring it to be the weekend. All right. You probably have never heard of plantation capitalism because you've probably not recently suffered a closed head injury and you more than likely don't roll in progressive circles. And those two things together seem to be a requirement for having heard the ridiculousness that you're about to hear, for having believed it, for having, you know, marinated in it. You just sit there and you go, how do these people function? There's some people in this world who need to thank God that breathing is a reflex. They do. Well, now, what do I mean by that? What do you mean by that, Derek? Well, it's pretty simple. There's some people who are so damn stupid that they would forget to do it. They'd forget to do it. You'd just be walking down the street and suddenly he's like, he's suffocating. Somebody, please help. And like, remind him to breathe. Like, breathe. Oh, thank goodness. You saved my life. No, I didn't. It's going to happen to you again, and you're going to be alone in the bathroom or something. And nobody's going to be there. Get tattooed on your hand. Breathe or something. Because you're just not that bright. The type of people who need slip-on shoes because, well, they'd probably end up choking themselves to near death if they tried to tie a knot. Those sorts of people. Every society has them. Not every society elects them to their government. Yet, largely, in the United States, we got a lot of them. Let's just put it that way. The tip of that spear is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who will scream at the top of her lungs, RICO is not a crime! And not get why, think everybody's laughing with her. She's one of those people who thinks that everybody's laughing with her. She is the perfect combination, and it's a dangerous combination, of arrogance and ignorance. Arrogance, and you can be arrogant if you can back it up. I probably wouldn't want to be around you, but I'd understand arrogance if you can back it up. Ignorance, I get. Ignorant people are ignorant, but you sit there and you go, if you know what you don't know, you're still smart enough to be aware of the fact that you don't know something. But arrogance coupled with ignorance is different. Arrogance coupled with ignorance is, I know everything and nobody's going to tell me any differently. No matter what anybody tells you, no matter what the evidence is, no matter how many times people point out, you're wildly wrong about this. You don't go back and correct the record and learn from it and go, you know what, I'm now going to be a little bit more humble as going forward. No, it is never letting the fact that you step into a field of rakes every day. By the way, you get out of bed, one side is a field of rakes, the other side is smooth sailing, and you keep getting out on the side with the field of rakes, and you say, well, it's everybody else's fault. It's not everybody else's fault. You're doing it. AOC is that way. She is. You're not going to be able to tell her. She doesn't know what she doesn't know because she thinks she knows everything. That's wildly destructive. Thank God she's not really sniffing power right now, but if someone like her were to ever get power, these are the people who are wildly dangerous. These are the people who sort of Mr. Magoo their way through life, a trail of destruction in their wake, and they are just oblivious to it. Like Joe Biden. Joe Biden, here's the employment numbers. The economy grew. The stock market is great. Okay, great. Those are abstracts. You go to the grocery store and you can't afford anything, right? It doesn't matter what the Dow Jones Industrial Average is. I'm not collecting from my 401k. So there's nothing that doesn't do me any good right now. By the time I retire, the stock market could have gone up and down 500,000 times. And oh, by the way, Democrats reminding everybody, this cracks me up. Democrats trying to make an argument. The stock market is getting record highs, record highs. Listen to them. The stock market is reaching record highs. But never forget, ladies and gentlemen, and tell your friends, never forget that those very Democrats that are sitting there going, the stock market is a record high, are the very same Democrats who prevented you and everybody else from taking 2.5% to 5% of your money that is already being taken from you by the government, withheld in Social Security, from being able to take that and invest that in the stock market back in the early 2000s when the stock market was around 10,000, right? That's, your money is in a lockbox. Not really. It's already been spent. We're told that it's there. You could have taken 2.5% to 5%, whatever they ended up coming up with in that deal. It never got very far because Democrats freaked out and said, you're going to privatize Social Security. It's Russian roulette to put money into the stock market. Now they're bragging about how high the stock market is. They're in the stock market. They've got a lot of money. They got insider deals as well as a fortune that they're putting in the stock market. You have been kept out. If you had been able to take a small fraction, 2.5% to 5% of your Social Security money and put that in the stock market back when George W. Bush proposed it, and Democrats immediately go, no, 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 Russian roulette, it would have tripled. It would have tripled. More importantly, you would have been able to inherit there, give that to your children should you pass on. Your Social Security money is not going to be inheritable. If your children are under 18, they get a stipend, your spouse will get a small amount of money, but nothing big. All the money you spent over the 30, 40, 50 years of your working life is just like poof, gone. Government's like, it's great, they died. It's great. We don't have to pay them. It's awesome. We get all the money. Republicans wanted to reform Social Security, keep it solvent by allowing you, in part, to take a tiny percent if you wanted to. It was voluntary. If you wanted to and invested in the stock market. But Democrats blocked it. Democrats protected you from the horrors of tripling your money in the stock market. They're rich. Paul and Nancy Pelosi, they are somehow worth $200-300 million now doing public service. All these people have managed to make a fortune off the stock market that they told you was far too risky for you to put a tiny percentage of money that you're never really going to see anyway into the stock market. So spare me as they all go, oh, you're right, stock market. Look at the stock market. Great. Can the stock market hitting 40,000 buy me breakfast? No? Then I don't care. Is it gonna, can I go up to the gas station attendant and say, yeah, I notice you're charging $3.50 a gallon there, but stock market's, you know, they're almost 40,000. Oh, all right. Well, let me make that more affordable for you. My 401k is doing really well. So if it doesn't have any correction in the next 20 years, I should be doing all right. Can I get a discount on the gas? No, nothing. All right, well, moving on. Yeah, that's how the Democrats operate. So just keep that in mind next time somebody tells you the stock market's doing so well, that they kept the vast majority of Americans locked out of the stock market for their own good, right? For their own good. Anyway, AOC, the tip of the spear of stupid, the arrogant and ignorant movement. She has this great, she does have some good ideas for marketing, right? For marketing. Her people did, actually. It's Waleed Shaheed, I think is the guy's name, of the Democratic Socialists of America, who got her the nomination and cooked up the idea. He was looking for somebody to push the idea of a Green New Deal. He'd already had that. And it's great marketing. New Deal. Democrats love New Deal. Who doesn't? Lead? Current deal sucks. We need a New Deal. And then you throw green in front of it. And the left loves the environmental movement. They buy hook, line, and sinker the climate change hoax. And they sit there and they go, well, it's a Green New Deal that allows them to put government tentacles into everything because it's about the impact of the environment, and everything is impacted by the environment. It empowers the left and empowers government in ways that you can't imagine, including what you're about to hear, because in the Green New Deal, Joe Biden did huge chunks of that already in the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, which actually created inflation. But now they've come up with the Green New Deal for public housing. This Green New Deal for everything. You just slap Green New Deal on it. And a certain percentage of the unthinking left will go, yes, sir, it's Pavlovian almost. So here's AOC yesterday talking about the Green New Deal for public housing. Cut four, go ahead.
We have to return to an era of rebuilding public housing in the United States. A different world is not only possible, a different world is arriving today.
That's right.
The Green New Deal for public housing would immediately replenish the multi-billion dollar backlog for public housing repairs. It would repeal the Fair Cloth Amendment. It would invest up to $234 billion over 10 years to preserve, upgrade, and expand our public housing stock. It would bring public housing down to zero carbon emissions while creating 280,000 jobs in America.
Yeah.
It would end the era of government neglect, demolition, and privatization of our public housing stock. This bill also addresses unsustainable rent prices.
Unsustainable rent prices, government tearing down public housing. Now, if you've ever been near public housing or in public housing, and I used to do roofing in Detroit, I've been around a lot of public housing, you recognize that these are the ones that they're tearing down are the ones that have been torn down since I worked on them. You don't feel safe. It doesn't matter if you're there during the day. You don't feel safe. They're not great. They're not kept up that well. There's no real pride of ownership because you don't really own it. You're essentially a ward of the state. They're disasters. They're loaded with crime, junkies, you name it. It's, because activists say even the sight of police is troubling and disturbing and scary. So police go, all right, well, we're not going to be allowed to go to these areas. And you go, well, that doesn't make any sense. These are crime-ridden areas. No. We can't go there because we make people uncomfortable. And guess what? Criminals absolutely love that. Again, progressive policies, Frankenstein's monster coming back to destroy the village sort of thing. But I've never been in a public housing unit where I was like, that's really nice. There are holes in the walls, the carpet is torn up, the hand railings on the stairs knocked off the wall, whatever it is. Because as it starts to go, people go, somebody else will do it. Somebody else's responsibility. You don't own it. What do you care? Think about if you own a home and you've rented. Think about the difference between those things. Yeah, if you're renting, you'll call your landlord. Hey, this is a problem. You don't really call them when it's going to be a problem, when it starts to. Hey, this is a problem. Because it's a hassle, whatever. You got to be there when somebody's sent over to fix it. But if it's your place, you're on it. The second something's creaking, something's hitting, something's not going the way it is, you're on it. You're on it like a rash. You're ready to go. That's the pride of ownership. If you're a ward of the state, essentially, living in public housing, getting public assistance, you don't care. You've created a permanent voting base, but you have made nobody's life better, not in the long term, because you've taught them nothing. You should be teaching them consequences. You should be teaching them pride. Take pride in yourself. You can't do that if you're telling people their victims are screwed by society and they're never going to get ahead. They're not going to be super excited about that. They're not going to be motivated to do that. You've sapped them of a bit of their humanity. And then you come up with another member of the goon squad, Jamal Bowman, congressman from New York. Noted racist, but what are you going to do? It's New York. He said, I'd never heard the phrase plantation capitalism before, and he's got a nifty little idea to save everybody from plantation capitalism, not to set them free, to make them more government dependent, but that's beside the point. Listen to this. Cut five. Go ahead.
It is plantation capitalism to have someone paying 40, 50, 60% of their salary towards rent. That is plantation capitalism. Rent should be capped at 20% of someone's salary. That's where we need to take it. And as we rebuild our cities and as we rebuild our country to ensure that every single person has a home, we need to invest and pass the Green New Deal for public housing.
Right. Absolutely.
It deals with the issue of unemployment and underemployment. It deals with the issue of the climate catastrophe that we are living in, and it deals with the issue of lack of affordable housing in our country. As the senator said, win, win, win.
Win, win, win. Yeah, don't you feel like a winner? Yeah, nobody. If you're paying 60% of your income for rent, you're an idiot. Why would you sign that lease? Why would you do that? Again, these people believe they're the ones who perpetuated the idea of predatory lenders. Remember? People jumping out of bushes, grabbing unsuspecting people and forcing them to sign up for mortgages they couldn't afford, buying too much home. Those predatory lenders, those bastards. How dare they? Now they're making people sign leases for 60% of their income. 60%. What idiots. And they made me renew the lease too. Should be capped at 20%. Okay, so what does that mean? That mean you stay where you are forever because they cut your rent and that's it? Or can you go up to a place that's $40,000 a month, but I only make $40,000 a year. So you can have 20% of that. And to not rent it to me would be discriminatory. Let's go to court. Let's see how this works out. Is there any way that this doesn't end up stupid? Well, when you start off with stupid, you've already reached your destination. You're listening to Tony Katz Today. I'm Derek Hunter, sitting in for him. We'll be right back. Are terrible human beings who do not enjoy the consequences of their own policies. I think that's the takeaway for today as we ease off on down the road. Isn't it the whiz? Ease on down the road. Talk about cultural appropriation. But that's cool because they gave you that song. But that's basically it. These Democrats really hate being held to the same standards, hate having the consequences of their own policies enforced on them. They don't really like a whole lot that impacts them. And they're always shocked to find out that, my God, there are bad consequences. No, they're not shocked. That's the takeaway from the Young Turks clip. They're not shocked that their policies led to horrible things. They're concerned that you, the voter, are going to realize that a lot of, not most of the horrible things that are happening are a direct result of their policies. If you don't follow that path backwards. So they discourage you to look back that way. Anyway, I am Derek Hunter. Thanks to Tony for letting me sit in. Thanks to Carl for helping me with all the technical garbage. Not that you guys need to know that, but if the show ran smoothly at all, it's because of him. And you can find me, just search Derek Hunter. Derek Hunter Podcast. Think whatever you want to find me. I'm out there. Have an awesome weekend. Go do something fun.